Love a Mystery, a Carlton E. Morse audio novel featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie, specialists in crime and adventure. Now following the Northwest trail of a missing millionaire, a killer cougar, and the Phantom Castle. This is Fred Foy introducing Jim Harmon's presentation of Les Tremain and Tony Clay in an original Carlton Morse thriller, The Fear That Creeps Like a Cat. Seven o'clock in the morning in the great old castle on a tiny, unidentified island somewhere off the west coast of Canada. The time has come for Doc to face the fate that Richard Cooper and Dr. Thorne have prepared for him. The three comrades, Jack, Doc, and Reggie, made one daring attempt to fight their way out of the castle, but were overwhelmed by sheer force of numbers. All three of them were unconscious before the battle was over. That was an hour ago, and now at 7 o'clock all three have been restored to consciousness and are seated in the great reception hall, their wrists handcuffed to their chairs.
Well, if I gotta go, why don't I go and get it over with?
All in good time, Mr. Long. All in good time.
Gonna take me out there and toss me to a mountain lion, huh?
Oh, no. That isn't the idea at all.
It ain't, huh? You mean me and one of them cougars ain't gonna fight it out among ourselves out there on the island?
Ah, Dr. Thorne's coming with his instruments.
Hey, what instruments?
Oh, yes. Are you ready, Dr. Thorne?
Yes, I believe, Mr. Cooper, I believe I am. I see you have Mr. Long stripped to the waist.
Now, you looky here. What's going on here? What you got there?
Just sit quietly, Mr. Long.
How am I going to do anything else with my wrist handcuffed to my chair?
Yes, now if you'll just take this thermometer into your mouth.
Hey, I don't know whether I...
Thank you. Just close your lips. Now then, Mr. Cooper, will you make notations?
Yes. Certainly, Dr. Thorne.
Pulse normal?
Normal, eh?
Yes, respiration slightly over normal.
Some slight sign of agitation, eh, Dr. Thorne?
Oh, yes. Reflexes greatly sharpened. Pupils of eyes slightly enlarged.
Oh. Reflexes sharpened, pupils enlarged.
Now then, let's have that thermometer.
Yeah, you should ought to flavor your thermometer, Dr. Thorne. Make it more interesting to suck on.
Temperature varies slightly on the eyes.
Will you tell me what you're all doing this for?
Upward signs of nervousness expressed in continued shifting of feet.
What you mean, shifting of feet?
Yes, doctor.
And increased strident quality in voice.
Doggone, you fellas.
Yes. And wouldn't you put down that startled curiosity which he shows in each of our statements? Wouldn't you put that down to a rising fear?
Oh, definitely.
Jack, I can't stand it any longer. I tell you, I can't. Sitting here like this and watching them make cold-blooded analysis of Doc.
Will you cut it out, Reggie? You're certainly not helping Doc's morale any with your hysteria.
What do I care? I'm afraid. Do you hear me? I'm afraid.
Hey, Reggie, cut it out, will you?
No, I won't. If you think I'm going to sit here and like it while those two inhumane jackals sniff about for living human flesh to destroy...
Reggie! You're crazy, fool.
Well, Mr. Cooper, it appears a fine case of hysteria has developed right under our noses.
Yes. Interesting.
Get away from me, do you hear?
Now, my boy.
I warn you, don't come near. I'll sink my teeth into the first one who comes within range.
The fear of the trapped animal. Courage of terror. Desperation.
Well, what else are we but trapped animals? Caged, examined, talked about to our faces as impersonally as though we didn't understand. Monsters, you monsters, do you understand?
Mr. Cooper, This specimen is developing into a much more interesting case than the others.
Hey, I resent that.
Specimen? Interesting case. Doesn't it occur to you that we're living human beings like yourselves? No, not like that. No, I'd rather die like this than be contaminated with the stain of blood on your hands.
I think we should send Mr. York out this morning instead of Mr. Long.
Now look what you went and done, Reggie.
Send me out? Go ahead, send me out. I'd rather be any place than chained to this chair, tortured in mind and body, waiting. No, go away. Don't come near me.
Get behind his chair, Dr. Thorne. Put a gag in his mouth. Then he can't bite.
No, I tell you, keep away. Keep a...
There. That'll take care of his desire to bite. Now then, Mr. Cooper, will you write down these new observations?
Well, let's see. I think he's in our files as specimen H-24, isn't he?
That's right, yes.
Jack, what's he eating, Reggie, anyway?
None of us is showing up to a very good advantage on this adventure, I'm afraid.
Something queer here, Mr. Cooper.
Huh? Now, what's that?
Pulse normal, respiration normal.
But good heavens, Dr. Thorne. A man couldn't be in this fit of hysteria and show normal heart and lung action.
I know. Look at the pupils of his eyes. Nervous reflexes. Perfectly controlled.
But see here, Dr. Thorne. What does it mean?
Mr. York. You're a fraud.
What's that? What did you say, Thorne?
Your friend York here is apparently trying to assume the role of a hysterical man for some purpose of his own.
Take the gag out of his mouth.
Yes.
So that was it.
What do you mean, Jack? So that was it.
There you are. What's the idea, Mr. York? Did you think you could fool me for 1 minute?
I didn't know. I hoped I could.
But why, young man, why? What was your object?
I thought if I could sell you on the fact that I was in a sweat of terror, you would send me out instead of Doc.
Hey, what you talking about? You were trying to muscle in on my date with that there mountain lion?
Well, if you want to put it that way.
Well, don't you ornery hide, Reggie?
Dear. Apparently the spirit of altruism is pervading the halls of science.
And I don't suppose you'd understand that, would you, Cooper?
No, I don't think I do.
Well, that's another nice little paragraph for your treatise on fear. That in the ordinary human, the desire to come to the aid of a fellow being in distress is stronger than fear, even the fear of death.
Mr. York's wasting our time. I think we have a complete record of data on Mr. Long.
All right. I'm going out and face a mountain lion. What else?
The problem in fear psychology, which we're studying today, is twofold. First, to what heights, what super strength, what cunning can the mind, the human mind and body be raised when stung by the lash of fear? Number two. We know that the mountain lion is a cowardly beast. We are interested in finding out whether hunger is a stronger force in a cowardly animal, or whether fear will dominate even the gnawing pangs of hunger.
Well, an interesting experiment. Vital to our study.
There's only one trouble with your experiment.
Yes, what's that?
Doc isn't afraid.
I wonder. Cooper, perhaps this would be a good time to tell him the rest.
Yes. Yes, we have a little surprise for you, Mr. Long.
Yeah?
Yes, we've decided at the last minute that you are not to go on this last adventure alone.
I say, will you send me?
No. That's not possible, Mr. York.
You mean Jack?
No, I'm speaking of Linda Joyce.
Hey!
Cooper, you don't mean
yes,
that.
Yes, I do, Mr. Packard. Linda Joyce.
But the girl, you can't do that. She won't have a chance.
It will give our heroic young friend here more incentive. A chance to stroll through the woods with a beautiful young woman.
That ain't fair. That's taking advantage. Go ahead, send me out, but don't send her. Can't do it. You can't
Dr.
do it.
Dr. Thorne, I'll go bring Linda in.
Yes, I'll release Mr. Long from his chair.
Yes, I'll be right back with her.
Jack, ain't there something we can do to stop this?
There's nothing, Mr. Long. Now then, when I release one wrist, lay it over on the other. One hand is still cuffed to the chair and your ankles to the legs of the chair. Don't try to be heroic.
Yeah, okay.
There now. You dare strike me?
Good work, Doc.
Kind of staggered him, even if I was sitting down.
Put your wrist over on the other one. You just leave both hands, cut the one.
How about my ankle?
I'm going to release them now.
Well, anyway, I can stretch my legs. Beginning to get cramped. Hey, here they come.
Oh, yes, my dear, yes. Come right along.
Hello, Linda. Hey, fella, it ain't as bad as that.
All right, Mr. Long, up off of your chair.
Yeah, looky, fella, we're gonna be all right.
I'm not afraid. I just can't help crying. I just can't help it.
All right, let's get started. Come along.
Jack, Reggie, I can't go out like this. I'm not ready. Bringing in Linda like that throws me all out of stride. This ain't the way to do it. I tell you, I'm not ready. I ain't even said goodbye to Jack and Reggie.
Ugly. Ugly, Jack. Ugly. Everything's ugly.
Reggie.
Yes?
I've got one of my hands loose. I think I broke my thumb, but I got it loose.
What good's that going to do?
If I can break the other arm off this chair before they get back, that's what I've got to do. Break the arm off this chair before they get back.
Now then, down these steps to the drawbridge. Just a moment. Dr. Thorne, will you open the door? Come now. Outside to the drawbridge. Wait now. We'll lower the drawbridge. Try to cross now. Lead the way, Dr. Thorne.
Yes, will do. I'll release you first, Miss Joyce. Now you, Mr. Long. Keep your gun on him, Mr. Cooper. Ah, there you are, Mr. Long. You'll find a knife with an 8-inch blade stuck in that first tree over there. You'll have 5 minutes before the lioness is released. All right, Mr. Cooper. Back across the bridge. Goodbye, Linda. Good luck, Mr. Long. Raise the drawbridge, Mr. Cooper.
Hello there, fella.
Doc, what's going to happen to us?
I reckon my mama was right, Linda. She always said I'd come to a bad end.
Adventures of Jack, Doc, and Reggie have come to you in I Love a Mystery. Created and written by Carlton E. Morse. Script copyrighted by Morsel Co. Incorporated. Produced and directed by story editor Jim Harmon. Featuring Les Tremaine as Jack Packard and Tony Clay as Doc Long. Consultants Frank Brzee and David Lloyd. Your announcer, Fred Foy. This presentation has come from Hollywood.